Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, great to have you with us as we get ready for boxing's first ever no-hitter. I find the draft more intriguing. Kevin, though, bought the Floyd Mayweather video game.
I don't think they've released that yet. Mike Tyson had one, though.
Did you buy it?
Yeah.
And?
I knocked him out.
You knocked him out? You really?
Yeah, it took a couple of tries, but I finally knocked him
out. Did you ever get Wii?
Nintendo Wii, yeah. We had one of those when Daniel was young. There was a game we played
Movement for you? Or?
No, there was a game we played in... the game we played in the arcades called Punch-Out. And when Nintendo made it for the video game system, it was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Right. When I was a kid, we had Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I had that too.
Hey, Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com is going to join us today. And then Dave's going to rejoin us on Friday to examine the Steeler draft. We'll talk to Dave in the 3:30 half hour about the NFL draft, where allegedly the Browns have offered 12 and 19 to get to 2 so they can select Marcus Mariota. So far, Tennessee evidently is not bit. Still waiting. And we will we'll find out.
I think here's the funny part of this story is ESPN, one reporter reports that it was offered. Another ESPN reporter says the Titans said no, there was no offer.
Well, I
just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, but I'm not totally sold on Mariota.
Yeah, you said that the other day, too. That surprised me a little bit.
Why? Where's his arm strength? How does he throw that out from the hash mark? How accurate a thrower is he? I don't think he's an accurate thrower. He is a careful thrower. He does a great job of not throwing interceptions, and that is a huge plus. But he is not a guy that leads you into yards after the catch. And my question about him is, it's obviously not about character, because it's, you know, anybody will tell you his character is top shelf. But as an NFL quarterback, slight of build, I think you need to have an offense around him and a line around them that allows him to do some things. And I'm not... He's a very hard guy to evaluate.
If Kevin Costner were the GM, this deal would have been done.
And the show heads south.
Oh, come on. We're all thinking it. I was just one to make the comment. I mean, we're all thinking it.
No offense, I wasn't.
Deep down you were. You just don't want to admit it.
I never saw the movie.
Really? Should watch that. You should watch it tonight. No.
That's all right. It's a beautiful night. Time to go outside, play some golf, do something.
Well, I mean, it's not daylight all night, so.
Yeah. You woke up in Florida. You woke up and suddenly felt like you were Confucius. Well done. I mean, I quoted Conrad on the show last week. Now you're trying to be Conrad.
It's not daylight all night.
Wow. How do we got? Hey, did you see James Franklin's first pitch last night?
I heard it was a strike.
And not only that, with some velocity on it. The guy was a quarterback at East Stroudsburg. And there are times where I've watched him throw in practice. I mean, he's still got a really good arm. Baseball is always one of his great loves, too. And he went to the top of the mound. He fired that thing last night. Michael Kay was genuinely impressed. And today, after sifting through three major league offers, he's decided to stay here. So the Phillies kept saying, come on, come on. Next part. Have the Phillies blown it on Cole Hamels?
As far as an opportunity to move him?
Yep. And getting maximum value.
I think they did. I told you that before. I did not think he would be starting the season in a Phillies uniform.
Well, guess what? There are a lot of people that are going around to your side that the Phillies have blown the window of opportunity to maximize. They should fire sale the team. They should do it. Fire sale it. And they should have done it in the offseason. You're not good with the guys you have now. Okay? I know you love Utley. He's, you know, the sun rises and sets with him, the whole thing. He's better off someplace else. Not going to help you win any games. Get rid of him.
Listen, if you can make this team better in the next couple of years instead of waiting five by having a fire sale, I'm all for it. I'm all for even watching Chase Utley in an LA Dodgers uniform if it makes the Phillies a better team eventually.
Gordon's actually a better player, so he won't be a Dodger. But
well, I'm just saying, I mean, that was one of the teams that he would probably agree to a trade to go to, because that's his hometown. But, I mean, he does have a no-trade clause.
Well, yeah, he's a 5-10 guy, right?
Right. Well, yeah. So, if this makes the Phillies a better team, then do it. I mean, you know, got to do something to catch the Mets.
The Mets? They're not going to catch the Mets. The Mets are way beyond what the Phillies have.
No, I mean at some point, not this year.
I mean ever.
Because the team right now, not going to do it. By the way, have you seen the pictures from Camden Yards? It is weird. I mean, we all knew it, but it's just weird looking.
Well, they're doing the walk-up music. They're having.
They were debating whether it was going to happen or not. I wondered about that. Walk-up music. You know, the scoreboard, that sort of thing.
You have to do the scoreboard, and you have to do the walk-up music because it's good for the players, and you have to have a public address announcer. You have to.
Well, I meant when I say the scoreboard, I'm talking about the video board, not the actual scoreboard that shows runs, hits, errors. I'm talking like the video board, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but you have a certain... you have a certain pattern you get into. You don't want your employees getting into a different pattern. You don't want that to happen. So you got a ball game, you just run it like a game. You have to have the public address announcer because, for example, you want to pinch hit and you want the pitcher announced. It has to be announced on the PA system. For example. So you got to have it.
Yeah, but do you do the piped in music, the walk up music?
Yes, absolutely.
I found that interesting.
That's what the players want. You don't take that out of there. It's you know, the players are the ones that, you know, that's what they walk up, and I mean, they're the ones that choose the music. So, yeah, of course you play that stuff.
And kudos to Major League Baseball and MLB.com for making the White Sox Orioles the free game of the day from their website to watch online.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think it takes much of a Where's the decision?
Well, I mean, but
Kudos for just doing your job.
Okay.
Well, you could have made it the Rays Yankees, but
kudos to Mark Lawrence. You know, he showed up today. Kudos to Mark.
They could have made it any game, kudos but this Dan one made Patrick. Sense.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. Anybody who loves the Orioles game or the White Sox are watching in Chicago and throughout Maryland. So, you know, they made it free online. Okay, that's fine. Because they know darn well it's the most intriguing game of the day because of the fact there's nobody there.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's like, yeah, fine. They also have to make up for the fact that it was supposed to be the MLB Network game of the night last night. That was actually supposed to be their national game last night.
Chris Davis had a 3-run homer. I wonder what that sounded like.
Well, probably the crack of the bat and a drive deep to right field.
I mean, does it sound like the Natural when he's hitting all those homers in batting practice and it's rattling around in the stands?
There's a good chance that that's enhanced. 7-2, by the way, the Orioles lead it in the bottom of the fifth inning. They scored 7 runs in the first inning, by the way.
CBS News at the top of the hour saying that there was a nice crowd outside the stadium that was cheering what they could hear.
Well, no, actually, if you listen to the radio broadcast, you can hear them outside the ballpark. Believe it or not. It was an afternoon game. They should have let him in. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I'm not down there, obviously, in a part of it, but it was an afternoon game. I mean, anybody's allowed to roam around downtown, you know. There's no curfew on right now. Yeah, the curfew ended at 5 this morning. Hey, it's an afternoon game. And they should have taken the Tampa Bay series and just shifted it to the and played nothing but afternoon games. To be honest with you, the curfew goes 8-2 Orioles in the bottom of the fifth inning. They have out hit the pale hose, and Jeff Smarja, by the way, has gone all.
Wow. By the way, working on that 3-run homer audio for you just to get an idea what it sounded like at the ballpark.
Well, the audio would be whoever's announcing it.
I believe we have it here. This is from Masson and the Orioles Television Network, courtesy of MLB.com.
Center field fence. 1-1 delivery, and he got a hold of that one. It is deep. Will it stay fair? And goodbye, home run. Chris Davis delivers a 3-RBI homer as he puts it out beyond the flag pavilion.
Smart move by Masson, though, to have. They did a camera shot of the fans outside the gate and obviously had a mic pointed in that direction as well. But that has got to be one of the quietest home runs you'll ever hear.
Have you ever seen a home run on the road?
Yeah, even that's louder than this is.
I didn't think it sounded that weird, to be honest with you. It
sounded like you're watching a Little League game. Except there was a crack of a wooden bat instead of a metal one.
Yeah. All right. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, let me guess. It's Hyundai.
It's Hyundai!
Hyundai!
It's a month-long celebration, 100 years in the making at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai!
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Save over $11,000 on new 2014 Genesis R-Spec 400-horsepower luxury sedan. Celebration savings with 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrids and $1,000 in bonus cash. 10-year powertrain warranty coverage and 37 mile per gallon combined average equal unmatched value and savings. Celebration savings. savings on all 2015 Elantra SE Unlimiteds with 0% for 60 months and $1,000 in bonus cash. And, of course, a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And 2015 Elantra starting at $16,988 plus tax and tags. This celebration is going on all month long only at your home for Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Check out our inventory 24-7 at sunburymotors.com.
All rebates to dealer with approved credit. Not all buyers will qualify. See dealer for complete details.
Open the door, let him in.
Whatever happened to wings? All right. They should have let him in today. I think they should have let him in. One thing that there's a tendency to do is to overreact sometimes. And things were bad on Monday night. They were bad. No question about it. I understand it. It also was bad Saturday evening near the ballpark. And I understand that. But this is an afternoon game. This is an afternoon game. You've got the National Guard in the streets. There's no curfew. I'd open the doors and say, come on in. Yeah, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it's what I would have done. Did they close all the stores and did they close all the stores in Baltimore? They all closed? The whole place is closed? In other words, if you want to go have lunch, can you go have lunch at the Inner Harbor? If you want to get a hotel room at the Hyatt at Inner Harbor, you can do it, right? Their doors aren't closed. Let them in. Oh, well. Sometimes you got to make some statements to some people that, guess what? Life goes on. Oh, well. Okay. 800-795-9565. We get ready for boxing's first ever no-hitter coming up.
Boy, that's going to be a long fight if nobody throws a punch.
I am of the firm belief, and again, this is total guesswork on my part, that if Mayweather had fought during the Leonard Hearns Duran era, he'd have been the fourth best fighter in that era. I think all three of those guys would have gobbled him up. Mayweather is a brilliant, brilliant defensive fighter. Defense and clinch. Defense and clinch. He's brilliant. He's very, very quick. But doesn't have the power to make a difference. Part of that era is that the ability to hurt somebody and make them back up. Leonard could make you back up. Hearns could make you back up. Duran could make you back up.
And Duran was such a small-looking guy.
Welterweight. Hearns was a lanky welterweight.
Right, but that's what I mean. But Duran just looks so much smaller than everybody else, and he had such a powerful punch.
And in my opinion, Duran would have kicked Mayweather's backside. Mayweather be clenching, but he'd be clenching holding on.
For dear life.
Really, spend the money any way you wish. It's your money because you have to go after what you think is entertaining to you. I will not discourage that ever. But it has no intrigue to me.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How much are you looking forward to a week from today?
I'll tell you after I hit the first three holes, because that's when I finally loosen up.
Have a good time.
Oh,
though.
My goodness, yes.
We always have a good time, right?
Absolutely. I love doing the show live from there.
Yeah, but the round of golf and everything that goes with it, we have a good time with that. That's why I always laugh every time they say, you okay for next year's tournament? I said, of course I'm okay for next year's tournament. I can't wait for next year's tournament. So a week from today, we'll be out at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And I can't wait to be out there. I think it's going to be a great time. I always have a lot of fun with this. A lot of fun. Although I have to admit, last night I played 9 holes of golf. Last 2 holes I played, okay, were with a group in front of me that included Anthony Zettel. Oh, my God. I've never seen a guy hit a golf ball that far in my life.
Is he available? Might need a fourth.
There was the 9th hole in the white course at Penn State. It's 350 yards, and yes, it's downhill. I actually eagled the hole once. I actually, from 150 yards out, knocked in a 9-iron. And right, he hit his drive to within 10 yards of the green. I told Jack Ham this morning, I said, I felt 80 years old, and I should be hitting from the gold tees. And he's a lot of, you know, interesting about him is that he's a really great guy, great personality, great sense of humor, but he hasn't shown it, I think, to people yet. I mean, he's a fun guy to be around, and I think people see him all the time. I think when people see him, he's you know. When they're younger, they're usually nervous in front of crowds. And I can remember 2 years ago, and it was over at the indoor sports complex, the indoor track, because they were trying to move the quarterback club around, and they were experimenting a little bit. And they were going to play Michigan. So I think it was he and C.J. Alanian were the two player guests that week because they're both from Michigan. And Anthony was he did a really good job, but, I mean, it wasn't his bag, you know. It's not everybody's bag. And he handled it well. Yesterday out there laughing, kidding around, you know, same thing with the group. The other three guys were great guys. And, it was just a lot of fun. I've never seen a golf guy hit a golf ball that far. Never. Never. And I've been around some guys that can really crush the ball. Not like that. Kept thinking to myself, look, you know, don't embarrass yourself and move up to the red tees, but gold would be good enough. It's just amazing. Wow. All right. Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com, about to join us. Dave's going to rejoin us on the show, by the way, on Friday. Dave, welcome. Great to have you with us as we head into this NFL draft.
Steve, how are you? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you. So they pick at 22. Every Steeler fan is saying, oh, come on, pick a corner, pick a corner. Yeah, we've already had guests on today that have said, you know, they might go defensive end and Randy Gregory. What do you see?
Boy, I will be, you know, with all the problems that Randy Gregory has had and because of his size right now, look, this is a kid that at times, well, you know, they're saying played under 230 pounds last year. And supposedly, you know, he gained weight for his pro day in March. He's, you know, there's reports now stating that he's back up under, you know, 230 pounds again. If you're going to play 3-4 defense, 3-4 outside linebacker in the NFL, you better be 240 pounds or more. Ideally, probably in today's game, pushing 250 pounds, if you ask me. You add in the problems, you know, the off the field, the marijuana testing positive at the combine. Even if he slides to the Steelers down to that spot, and I know they brought him in for a pre-draft visit to kind of look a little bit deeper into that character, but do you really want another Deion Jordan on your hands? And,
right.
And you know, I say Deion Jordan because he was suspended for the 2015 season for supplying a diluted sample, evidently. So I just don't see the Steelers going that route. And, you know, I think I'd go cornerback, Steve, if one of the top ones are available there. And, in fact, in my final mock draft that I released on Monday, I have Kevin Johnson out of Wake Forest being the Steelers selection at 22 overall.
would be a good choice. A little small, but still a good choice there. I mean,
he's got the size. You know, the big knock on Kevin Johnson was his weight. You know, all through college. I mean, he showed up on campus and, you know, the first couple of years there, I think he played like 170 pounds.
Right, small.
And, you know, pretty small kid. He's got the length, you know, and he's got adequate speed. He plays, you know, some cover three, some cover two, some press, some man, some zone. I mean, he knows all the coverages. He can do pattern reading and all that. He's not, you're going to turn the tape on this kid, and you're going to get consistency as opposed to flash and ball hawking and things like that. Now, the other knock on him, too, is his tackling. He missed quite a few tackles at Wake Forest. He is not from a lack of effort, though it's a lack of technique a lot of times. He's not bringing his, what they call, he's not bringing his feet with him a lot of times. Sometimes he'll lower that head, duck the shoulder. But I tell you, there is not a cornerback that I studied more during this offseason with Kevin Johnson. I went all the way back to 2012 and his game against Clemson as well, you know, and he played well against Martavis Bryant and New Hopkins and Sammy Watkins. He really had a good game. And in the big games that he has played, which there haven't been many against quality competition, he's played well. So once again, he's a guy that fits the system. I don't think you can go wrong with him. A good high character kid, and I think if he's on the board, the Steelers will want him, because look, they had Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, Carnell Lake, all the big dogs at his pro day as well.
All right, it's a 7-round draft, so you can do a lot of things over the course of 7 rounds. On your checklist, what must be taken care of, especially in the first 4 rounds?
Well, you know, we just talked cornerback. You would expect that to be addressed at least once, and you know, hey, even possibly twice, because you look at the situation. You got William Gay over there, you know, getting up there in age. The jury's still out on Cortez Allen. They re-signed Antoine Blake, an undersized guy, a restricted free agent this past offseason. But once you get past that, you really don't have a lot there. So they need at least one, possibly two in the first 4 rounds there. Edge rusher. The good thing about this class, and Kevin Colbert said this during his pre-draft press conference on Monday, that this is an extremely deep and quality outside linebacker class, and he says it's probably the best that he's seen in 10 to 15 years. So that's good news there as well. And you know, I think there's going to be some quality guys there in the second and third round, some edge rushers, some guys maybe like a Preston Smith out of Mississippi State, a Nate Orchard out of Utah is another guy that could be there. So kind of look and circle those names. And I would not be surprised if they take two outside linebackers. I mean, I really hope they do double dip at the cornerback position and at the outside linebacker position. As far as filling in some of the other holes, they could use a guard. They really could. Ramon Foster is entering the final year of his contract. Right. They don't have a lot of depth behind them. On a defensive side of the football, you know, again, you could probably use a developmental free safety. On this team, you could probably use a kind of a power running back in the later rounds to spell Le'Veon Bell, and you know, they brought in a few wide receivers during this pre-draft process as well too. But circle cornerback and outside linebacker for sure.
They also brought in at one point Jesse James. Is tight end a possibility at some point over 3 days?
Absolutely, and I think they're looking more for a heir apparent to Matt Spaeth as opposed to maybe an heir apparent to Heath Miller.
Yep.
We'll see how it plays out here, Jesse James would probably be the most well-rounded of the bunch of tight ends that they've kind of looked at. One of my favorite is Blake Bell, the quarterback turned tight end over at Oklahoma.
Yep.
Wow, go turn on his tape after one season. Switching from quarterback to tight end, impressive kid. He might be the best all-around tight end in this class, and he only played the position for 1 year. So imagine, you know, how much better he's going to get at the NFL level. Has ideal size too. Jesse James, as you talked about there, Jeff Huerman out of Ohio State is another guy that they looked at. And then they looked at, you know, the kid out of Auburn who was underused there, has great measurables, really wasn't used a lot in their offense, and a couple other later round guys as well, too. So, yeah, I could see a tight end at some point. But if they don't get James in around round four or so, maybe look for them to wait until, you know, round six or seven or so.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, to me, the guy I think is the best tight end in this draft, he won't even be available for the Steelers at any point. And that's Max Williams, probably out of Minnesota, I think is just a fabulous player. Heuerman was just a really good, not only tight end, but H-back kind of guy at Ohio State. He seemed to do all the dirty work Ohio State needed him to do.
Exactly. You want those move. The Steelers value those move guys.
Yeah.
You know, those guys that can split out wide, the guys that can get on the end of the line of scrimmage, and the guys, as you mentioned, that can play the H-back fullback role. They love that position versatility. And the guys that they have brought in so far this offseason for pre-draft visits kind of fit that mold, and as does the kid that they drafted last year out of Massachusetts, Rob Blanchflower. Yeah. Don't forget about Rob Blanchflower and all this. You know, he was banged up during training camp last year, only got a limited time during the preseason, but he really has some upside to him. We'll see what a year in the weight room does to him and him getting used to NFL conditioning. Now, he's had injury problems in the past. He's going to have to prove that he can shake that, but don't throw him out with the baby's bathwater just yet.
Very quickly on the current group, and that would be Antonio Brown. Yes, he did work out with the team. But what sense do you get about his mindset in a contract that he signed in good faith?
I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, he's fighting a losing battle, right? I mean, three years left on the deal. There's no way the Steelers are going to redo that deal that far out. They'd be setting a bad precedent at that point.
Yep.
If you do it for him, you're going to have other players try the same thing on that. I'm not sure. Look, Antonio Brown nor his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, right now are a lot of Twitter reports, for the most part, stating he is unhappy, that he was possibly mulling the idea of sitting out the entire offseason, including training camp. But, you know, after that first week of missing the first phase of the offseason program, which, by the way, is voluntary. He did nothing wrong. He's doing nothing wrong until mandatory minicamp.
Right.
You know, and that's when he can start, when the team can start firing him. But he wound up, he reported on Monday. I have yet to see him talk to the media. Mike Tomlin just kind of brushed it off when he was asked by the media on Monday about whether or not, you know, it was a big deal if Antonio misses, you know, voluntary practices. And Mike Thomas says, look, I'm just not going to deal in hypotheticals here. He was in the building today working, and the team had a good day. So I think he's going to have to go about this the right way, and that show up and be a good teammate and continue to perform at a high level. But even so, you wouldn't expect his deal to get done, get redone, until 1 year out maybe. And as you stated, he's got 3 years left on that deal that he signed in 2012. So, you know, good luck with that, Antonio. But if I were him, I wouldn't be a distraction. I would just show up and honor that contract for a few more years.
Yeah, there's an old saying in the NFL. Yeah, it's voluntary, but you can volunteer yourself out of the league. So, you know, that's not going to happen to him, obviously. But still, you watch a lot. How much tape do you watch of potential drafts, because you're trying to slot these guys in your own mind? How many different guys do you think you've actually sat down and watched so you could really slot where you think the Steelers should go?
Over 100. I'll tell you that, because we did over 100 draft profiles on the site, and even though I don't watch the full selection of tape that my two other guys do that also write up the reports, They send me the clips that they need trimmed out of that as well too. We have over 500 animated GIFs up on the site over the course of the off season on over 100 different prospects. So, you know, I got to go through that film too and trim out those clips. And, you know, you'll watch quite a bit. I've watched personally, more than a game on probably 60 to 70 players.
Wow.
Probably. And I mean, literally, I've got tape running in here all day, and I'll probably watch on any given day probably 3 hours worth of tape.
Always a pleasure, Dave. Appreciate the time and the insight.
Steve, I appreciate you having me. Ask good questions. You do good work. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Bryan will be rejoining us, by the way, on Friday to look at the Steelers' first-round mistake. And then... You okay?
I agree with him, by the way, 110% on where the Steelers should go in the first round, assuming he's available.
You do realize you can only go to 100.
I offer more. I say corner, safety, pass rusher, and then tight end. Those are your priorities in order.
Okay.
And quite honestly, pass rusher and safety to me are kind of interchangeable. If you have a good pass rusher available in that second pick, go. If you feel that it's getting thin at safety, I'd rather see them go to a safety first.
What does Sean Carey think?
He and I are in 110% agreement.
Oh, God. Well, more of the show spiraling into the mathematic abyss in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The year was 1915. Thomas Edison was lighting up the countryside. Abigail Geisinger was starting a local hospital. Henry Ford was building the Model T. And J.O. Mertz founded the Sunbury Motor Company.
100 years later, Sunbury Motors has become the most established and recognizable Ford franchise in all of northeastern and central Pennsylvania. In 1915, Sunbury Motors had an inventory of around 10 vehicles. And today, there's over 500 to choose from. They had 2 employees then and almost 200 now. SMC continuously improved for you. Sunbury Motors has a complete service department with a separate diesel shop and quick lane for your convenience. A state-of-the-art body shop and frame and alignment shop, along with one of the largest Ford parts operations on the East Coast. In the past several years, Sunbury Motors has also added the full lineup of Lincoln and Hyundai vehicles. Everyone is welcome to become part of the SMC growing family. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Thanks, J.O.
I'm only not for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be brave from the fight.
And what's that for?
That's my first round pick, Hope. Need a hero.
Oh, a hero. Okay, great. Jerome Bettis will be enshrined in Canton on Sunday, August 9th.
As rightly so.
And he's been a part of the State College Spikes ownership group since day one. I didn't think you'd realize that.
You told me that, but I did not know that prior.
Yes, sir. So I've worked for him for a while. The Spikes are going to honor Bettis by wearing gold jacket jerseys the night of August 9th.
That actually sounds like a cool idea.
The jerseys will also be up for bid in a special jersey off the back auction benefiting the Children's Miracle Network. Plus, the first 1,000 fans of all ages that night will receive a Jerome Bettis gold jacket bobblehead presented by the Nittany Lion Inn and the Penn State Conference Center Hotel. Yeah, you're intrigued now, aren't you?
Hang on, I'm looking for tickets.
Well, I can get you tickets. I can get you in for nothing.
Yeah, but can you get me the bobblehead?
Hey, I can't do everything for you.
That's the most important part. Can you get me the bobblehead?
I probably could, but why don't you show up?
That's fine. I just want the bobblehead. I'll watch the game.
That's right. I mean, well, although that's the same day as Canton, so you may not be able to go because I think you want to go to Canton, right?
Oh, I got a conflict.
You've been conflicted your entire life.
I may have to weigh this out a little bit now.
Pretty cool, huh? I think it's a great idea. What would you prefer, a jersey, or would you prefer the bobblehead? You're probably the bobblehead.
Oh, right? I thought the bobblehead. You had to ask.
Just want to make sure. Not as if I don't have access to things.
Although, if it's a signed jersey, then that outweighs the bobblehead.
No, the jerseys will be auctioned off after the game. The players will wear them.
No, I'm saying a signed Jerome Bettis jersey would outweigh the bobblehead.